بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. Our discussion, brothers and sisters, is about the importance of love in Islam. How important is this, love in Islam? How important is it for us to know? How important is it for us to share Islam's viewpoint and to work to developing loving bonds between ourselves and those who are around us? There's some important questions that we want to ask. One of them is the importance of love itself. Another one is the role that love, receiving love, giving love plays in our spiritual development. A third discussion, which is very important, is the way of how to create loving bonds between us and those who are around us, our family members. And of course, one discussion that we definitely need to have is the idea of how do we, if we did not receive the love that we should have as children, if we grew up in a household which was less than nurturing, less than loving, and now perhaps as young adults or as older adults, we're still suffering because of that. How do we recover? How do we break the curse? Or let's say we're in a situation currently where the situation isn't so loving. Again, that's another important discussion, but we'll start with the idea of how important it is to actually, or how important love is. How important love is. How important, we want to answer that question. How important it is to be loved, how important it is to be loving, and cover areas of this. So one of them is the idea of addressing this question, very important question, of our personal capacity to receive love. How important is it for us to receive love as a human being? Maybe I'm the kind of person who naturally, when somebody expresses love towards me, I'm not naturally someone who receives that, who thanks the person for that. I may even feel a little uncomfortable with that. How important is it for me to receive love? How important is it for me to give love? Very beautifully, the way that Imam Sajjad, salamullahi alayhi, he addressed this, is it's in the form of a dua, but that dua shows us where we should be going. And it answers this question for us. The Imam tells us that we're supposed to love and be loved. We're supposed to try to love others and be loved. And we, if we can understand this statement of the Imam, we're less likely to love-starve those who are around us. The Imam says this, when he's begging Allah, he says this, فَاجْعَلْ نَفْسِي, make my soul like this, مُحِبَّةً لِصَفْوَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكَ, make it loving towards your chosen awliya. Make me loving towards those whom you love, my imam, the other followers of God, the other believers of God. Make me loving towards them. And then also, that's not where the imam ends. He says, mahbubatan fi ardika wa sama'ik, make me beloved in the heavens and the earth. Mahbubatan fi ardik, we need to be beloved. So this incredible command, it reminds us later on of an important discussion of the role humanity needs for a loving imam. As the imam, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, described himself as Imam al-Qulub. Why is it so important to have Imam al-Qulub? What is the importance of divine love in recovering if I'm not receiving the love that I should from my inner circle? Whereas Allah says in Surah Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse number 54, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, God loves them and they love Him. How do I make up for it if I'm not receiving that love? Now, what happens, brothers and sisters, is that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam haven't stopped there. Actually, they've told us to be loving. We're supposed to be loving towards others. Muhibbatan. That's also there in the dua. So here Allah has told us, the Prophet has told us in the hadith, أحب السبيان وارحموهم, love children and be merciful to them. Our children need to receive love. They're innocent. They come into this world perfect, muwahideen. One of the duties that we have, one of the haqqunnas that they have over us, is their desperate need to receive love. Instead of us looking at them as being irritating, they are under our feet, they're always annoying, how much love do they need to receive? Well, we learn the human capacity to be that beloved. We actually need the love of God and of the Imam. How much should I play in this? How do I model love? One of them is that being loving towards our parents and especially our mothers, as we're told in the hadith that paradise is under the feet of the mothers. And our scholars have told us that we should be kissing the hands. Our children should be raised in such a way that they readily kiss the hands of their mothers. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and the mother may even feel shy. It's good if the father, instead of the mother having to say, kiss the rings, the father is the one who is encouraging his children. Or later when they watch him kiss his mother's hand, and they watch their mother kiss her mother's hand. If that could be modeled, then that is actually the Islamic instruction. And you would think this is fitri, but as we learn from this hadith, this is something that we have to hear again and again and again. There's a story in the time of the Prophet that a man came to our Prophet and he asked the Prophet, who should I be kind to? And the Prophet said, to your mother. And then he said, okay, I've got that. Who else should I be kind to? And again the Prophet said, your mother. Then he said for the third time, who should I be kind to? And then the Prophet said, to your father. So our mothers really need to be receiving love from us, right? One of the things, one of our instructions is to be loving. Of course, our spouses should also be receiving love from us. There's no shame in that, actually, that's encouraged. The more love there is between a husband and wife, our scholars have told us that the better it is. There is no cap of that. And we see those amazing love stories in the lives of our ulama, like Allama Tabatabai Ridwanullah Ta'ala Alayh, the love that he had for his wife, how it was demonstrated even after she passed. The love between Imam Khomeini and his wife, may the mercy of Allah be on them both. The love letter that Imam Khomeini wrote for his wife, which is still available now, the one that we have access to. So Islam encourages that. Actually, we're told in this hadith from Imam Sadiq that this is the akhlaq of anbiya. Loving the spouse, hubbun nisa, we're told is akhlaq of the anbiya, Imam Sadiq says. So it's holy, it's encouraged, it hasn't been capped. The children should see that love. Or our wives, this hadith from the Prophet says, if someone is looking for the spiritual rewards of being loving, the best of your women, خَيْرُ نِسَائِكُمْ الْوَدُودِ. That woman who gives emotional energy to that, who's very loving. She hugs her kids, she walks her husband in when he comes, she's excited to see him, excited to see the children. Loving, emotional energy. Especially if they can see that loving interaction between her and her husband. That's also another one that's very beautiful. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. The idea of one of the challenges that we face nowadays is our children, not even wanting to get married. And part of that, it may fall back on us and our behavior. For some of us, brothers and sisters, we also need the encouragement to be loving. Sometimes, as I mentioned, as that fourth question we had, we didn't receive the love that we should have. It wasn't modeled for us. We didn't grow up in houses which were very loving. Maybe there was strife. Maybe we were ignored. Maybe we were mistreated. Maybe we were abused. Maybe we're now trying to break the curse. What are the spiritual rewards of being someone who is loving? If we can look at this, this is now a household, but again, we said that this is not limited to just our households. Well, let's start with our household. Let's get our house in order. The Prophet says, in this beautiful hadith, he says that in narajul, if a man and a wife, a husband and wife, have a loving relationship, in narajul, idha nazara ila imra'atihi wa nazarat ilayh. If a man looks lovingly towards his wife, and she looks lovingly towards him, if this is modeled, if they're receiving love from one another, if they're giving love, gifting love to one another, نَظَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ إِلَيْهِمَا نَظَرَ الرَّحْمَةِ. God looks at both of them with the glance and the look of love. God smiles at that couple that's loving. It's a way for us to receive divine mercy on that last day when we're desperate. We are trying to make it to paradise by any means necessary. Imam Sadiq has given us a way to receive Allah's mercy. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْحَمُ الْعَبْدَ لِشِدَّةِ حُبِّهِ لِوَلَدِهِ. Truly, the promise from Imam Sadiq, on the day of judgment, you and I need to go to Imam Sadiq and say that I did this, right? God will definitely, truly show mercy to the servant because of how much he or she loved their children. Allahu Akbar. So much encouragement. To be loving, to demonstrate love. The parents. نظر الولد إلى والديه حبا لهما عبادة. This is a type of worship. If a child, when a child looks at his parents, حبا لهما, out of love for them, this is عبادة, Rasulullah says. So, that first part is about the first instruction of the imam, or the first request from the imam, which was the idea of being loving. But we also have a need to be mahbub, to be beloved. And that's also something that we need to be working on. Actually, as I mentioned a little earlier, sometimes nowadays, for people from my generation, we're a little surprised when we're trying to encourage our children to get married, and we may see, not necessarily my children, but just in general, we see that there's pushback and children aren't as excited as we were to get married. We would think, okay, well look, now that's it, you know, let's suggest getting married. And the kids, I don't know, I'm not sure. There's pushback. Now there's a question. Why get married? Why settle down? I'm enjoying myself. Things are okay. I heard a story, inshallah it's not true. They said once, this little boy went to ask his father. He told his father, he says, Daddy, why is it that when a woman gets married, she wears all white? And the dad said, that's because that's the happiest day of her life. She wants everybody to know how happy she is to get married. So the little boy looked at his daddy for a second, then he said, why is it that the groom wears black? So sometimes there's a question, people, is it really? And maybe because they haven't seen love modeled in their parents' lives. Their parents' lives aren't one where they're still romantic, not like Imam Khomeini and that letter. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we can read that letter to see what Imam Khomeini, that arif, that person who they say, after the Anbiya, meaning after the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, from now, we haven't had any personality like that one. The stories that are there about Allama Tabatabai, that great arif, we hear his stories about his spirituality. What was the relationship like between him and his wife? The idea that we should experience marital bliss, we should try for that, we should be trying to get married, as it's told in hadith, and one of the reasons for getting married is love, mentioned in the ayat of the Quran. The Imam tells us this, that we should try to be beloved. The Imam, the Prophet says that whoever has gotten married, ahraza nisfa dinih, has protected half of his religion. In another hadith from the Prophet, he encourages us to get married early, to experience being mahbub early on in our lives. He says, "Ma min shabbin tazawwaja fi hadathati sinnihi." There's no youth who gets married early in his life except that that shaitan who's been assigned to him shrieks and says that this person has protected 2/3 of their religion by receiving love early. Having children, the hadith says, "Baytun la sibyana fi la barakata fi." We should have little kids. Our houses should have the pitter patter of little feet. "Baytun la sibyana fi la barakata fi." If there's no children in it, no sibyan in it, there's no baraka. We should be having children, our children should be having children. We should be seeing our grandchildren. It should be this loving type of household. Now, that's one discussion. Another very important discussion for us to have with the rest of the world, with ourselves first and the rest of the world, is an Islamic concept that love comes from above. I want to share some verses of Quran about this and a story from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Love is a blessing that comes from above. God grants love. It's a blessing though. Let's look at some of these ayat of the Qur'an. One of them is Surah 3, verse number 103, where Allah says this, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah to altogether. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't scatter. وَذْكُرُوا. Important now. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember this ni'matullah alaykum, this blessing of Allah over you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. When you were enemies, فَأَلَّفَ. God فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. God united your hearts. It comes from above. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. With the blessing of Allah, you became brethren. Another one. God explains that there's no amount of spending you could do to create love. Again, it comes from above. Surah 8, verse number 63. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. God, again, He attributes this to Himself. He brought the hearts together. He united the hearts. وَلَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. And if you spent everything that was in the earth, مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You wouldn't be able to do this. You wouldn't be able to unite the hearts. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. However, it was God who united the hearts. God, the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine love, how important is that? The other one that's there is that because this blessing, as I mentioned, we learn from the verses, it's a blessing, God gives it, it can also be lost. God gives this special blessing in the beginning of a marriage. When you first get married, He grants this. Surah 30 and verse number 21. وَرَحْمَةً. Again, God attributes this to Himself. He is the one who placed between you love and mercy. God is the one who placed this love and mercy in your hearts. So it's a blessing. It can be lost if we don't maintain it. Now, one of the things we also want to keep in mind, and this is one we have to explain to the people of the world, and ourselves we have to understand this. True love, we learned this from some of our ulama, I'm going to share this story. True love only happens when both human beings love someone else more than they love one another. You can't love another person. You can't truly love another person unless you love someone else who unites the two of you. And that person has to be God or his awliya. No one else is worthy of love. And I need to answer this question, which I will answer next. Well, what about all the love that we see in this world? What about that? Don't they love each other? We need this uniting factor. Once, this story now, our Imam, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, he was invited by one of his mawali. He invited him, he said that, please come and have a meal with me. And the Imam graciously accepted to have a meal with the man. They walked and they went to the man's house. They went to the man's house, and apparently the man had like some sort of a yard, and in it was a bench. So the Imam sat down on the bench. The man goes inside to get the food, maybe speaking to his wife. Alhamdulillah, the Imam is here. Let me bring out the food. And when he comes out, he sees the Imam is sitting on the bench and the Imam's laughing. And so, of course, so happy to see. First of all, his Imam is there. Now his Imam is, what's going on? Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? And the Imam tells him, he says that there's actually two pigeons. And I was listening to their conversation. It's beautiful, the actual words of the hadith, if you read it yourself, it's beautiful. Where the Imam explains that the male pigeon was trying to be romantic to his wife. He was saying a few sweet words to her, and then he said this. The Imam heard him over say, this is what made the Imam laugh. He says, Wallah, the bird said to his mate, Ma ala wajhil ard ahadun ahabba ilayya minki. There is no one who I love more on the face of the earth, مَا خَلَى هَذَا الْقَاعِدِ عَلَى السَّرِيرِ, except for that person who's sitting on that bench. Otherwise, it's me and you. And the Imam saw that. He listened to the little lines of poetic justice or love that the bird had, and he loved to hear that. But that's a deep story. You can't actually love someone unless you love God. It comes from God. Otherwise, what is it? Strategic alliances. Other people in this world are starving for true love, brothers and sisters. True love is a relationship that's based on God, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to experience joy, mankind needs to love God. They need to love their imam. Otherwise, their fitrah is calling out for this. But what you're seeing is not true love. Listen to this hadith from the Imam, and then inshallah, let's look at the explanation. So One of them, the Imam says this, what the love that we see around us isn't permanent, whereas divine love, love of one another for the sake of Allah, real love is permanent. The Imam says, Wuddu abna al-akhirah, the love of the children of the hereafter. If there is a believer, a mu'min or mu'mina, who loves someone for the sake of Allah, he says, Yadumu lidawami sababih. This love continues, this love is permanent because of the permanence of the reason. I love them for God, I love them for the Imam, I love this individual because I see other Shia as the children of my Imam. I love this person, they represent God to me. I see Allah in them. Because of Allah, I sacrifice for them. Because of Allah, I give for them. Because of Allah, I don't expect anything. Because of Allah, I'm kind even when they're not kind. Because of Allah, I'm able to help my relationship recover. What about what people think is love? Imam Ali says this, Wuddu abna ad-dunya. The love that's there in the dunya. You and I, we're seeing so many people in love, love songs, people sacrificing for one another. The Imam says this, the love of the people of this world, يَنْقَتِعَ لِإِنْقِتَاعِ أَسْبَابِهِ. This love ends because the reason for it ends. The love that other people have one for one another, if it's not for God, they're strategic allies. We're looking out for one another, for the goal. Not for, there's no true love. There's no honor amongst thieves. And you see this globally. You're watching countries have alliances with one another for specific reasons. And then they say that we are a brotherly nation. We care for these people. We are allies in this. And then you see them cut those ties. Look at what Turkey is doing to Syria. You know how long Turkey and Syria have been allies? But in Erdogan to serve his Israeli masters, his American masters, what did he have to do to the Syrian people? Although it's suicide for him, for his businesses, for his country. ISIS? Are you kidding me? What about here? Here we see it so often in this system of Yazid with Trump. And by the way, this was there before Trump. The Quran says, you think they're together. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَكْتَى. Their hearts are scattered. But the beautiful thing about the current president is he just demonstrates this. He doesn't hold anything back. He just says it out. He doesn't have any haya. You join his cabinet, you're with him. Great guy. You go weak. You go to jail for him. The whole Western political system is like this. Strategic alliances. If you watched the presidential debates, if you watched before they finally got the guy who Trump calls Sleepy Joe, if you watch Tulsi Gabbard rip Kamala Harris to shreds, and if you watch Kamala Harris disgrace these guys, Sleepy Joe, if you want, right? But then allying together, Bernie going behind, they don't have love. You think they're in love. You think they're together, as the Quran says in that verse. Strategic allies. And being a believer, we're not allowed to be, we can't be indifferent to other believers. If we see a believer struggling, they're struggling with their deen, they're struggling with their hijab, they're struggling with an addiction, they're not doing so well, their prayer is not, I can't just be indifferent. I can't just say, you do you, bro. It's not like that story. Inshallah, it's not true. They said there's these two guys, they were walking in the woods together, and then they saw a grizzly bear. And they looked at the grizzly bear, and the bear saw them. And the bear started to slowly come to them, and the one of the guys, he reached into his backpack, and he took out some sneakers. And the other guy looked at him, and said, why are you putting on sneakers? He said, you can't outrun a grizzly bear. The guy said, I know there's not a chance that I can outrun a grizzly bear, but the way I see it, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. That's what it is here. Without Allah's love, without divine love, even if it's us as believers and our relationships aren't based on Allah, the hadith is still true. If our relationships are not based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then sometimes you see, and it's so sad, when you see believers who before were madly in love and now enemies. It was never about Allah. So what we want to do is have those relationships that are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we're humble for Allah. We're kind for Allah. We love for Allah. We experience love because that's what Allah wants us to experience. We behave, then it becomes something that's extraordinary. Now, brothers and sisters, I just want to end with one last story. And then inshallah, we can address some of these other points later. This is a very beautiful hadith from Imam Askari alayhi salam, where he says this, and it shows us the idea of behaving appropriately towards one another for the sake of Allah. The Imam says this, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ فِي الدُّنْيَا لِإِخْوَانِهِ, the person who is humble in this world for his brethren, I do this for other believers, فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ السِّدِّيقِينَ, this person will be counted in Allah's eyes as being one of the people who have the spiritual station of being one of the Siddiqeen. Wa min shi'ati Ali ibn Abi Talib haqqan, this person will be counted as a true Shia if their relationship, that humility that they're showing, that love that they're showing is for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Ali, because of Imam Mahdi. Tawadha'a fid dunya, they're demonstrating, they're modeling this appropriate behavior because of Allah. Once there were two guests, two believers, a father and a son. They came into the presence of Amirul Mu'mineen. They were the guests of Imam Ali. And Imam Ali stood up and he went to these guests and he welcomed them. Now you're seeing how we model this. He showed respect to them. He sat them down in the place. He requested that food be brought out to them. And then it was brought and they were about to eat. And so Qanbar came and he brought a pitcher. And he was about to wash their hands, so they could wash their hands and then eat. And Imam Ali took the container. And he was trying to pour what? This kind of humility. Amirul Mu'mineen. He was about to pour water and the man said, he just couldn't take it, the idea of Amirul Mu'mineen pouring hands on, who am I? He said to Amirul Mu'mineen, he said that, you know, I can't. He tried to react. He said, how can God see me while Amirul Mu'mineen is pouring water on my hands? And the Imam told him this. He said that, sit down and wash your hands. Listen to the words now of Imam Ali. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal, truly God, yaraka wa ahuk. This is how you create, this is how you raise a nation. This is how you create, how you model humility, love, compassion. He says, God sees, yaraka wa ahuk. He sees you and your brother. الَّذِي لَا يَتَمَيَّزُ مِنْكَ وَلَا يَتَفَضَّلُ عَلَيْكَ يَخْدُمُكَ, God sees you and your brother who has no difference between you and is not better than you, is serving you. يُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ خِدْمَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, he wants divine reward for doing this act. And he told the man was still so uncomfortable. He said, I want you to be just as, said, by the right that I as Ali have over you, I want you to be just as comfortable as if Qanbar was pouring water over your hands. Allahu Akbar. This kind of humility, this kind of love, this kind of service. After that, Imam Askari, the hadith says, فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ عَلِيًّا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, whoever is like Ali in this way, فَهُوَ أَشِّعِي حَقَّى, this is a true Shia. Whoever can model love, demonstrate love, be loving, receive love as the man did, for the sake of Allah, this is the true Shia. Inshallah, Allah helps us to understand the importance of love, the various dimensions of love, to be able to explain how love operates on our in our lives, to be able to explain it to the world by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, and may he accept what was said and heard in his way. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.